I want to read some verses tonight in Corinthians. First of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, and then I'm going to back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor, not the Savior, the savor of Christ, of His knowledge by us in every place. Amen. Whenever the Lord gives to us victories. Now, a victory presupposes a conflict, a battle that we are involved in. Amen. And this battle, while you may feel like it's in the flesh or it's flesh and blood, but be assured that it is not. The battle that we're involved in is not a flesh and blood battle. It is a spiritual battle. Now, it may manifest itself in physical ways in our life, but the root of the issue is we're in a battle with the enemy of our soul. Amen. You only have to back up three verses in that same chapter, verse 11, where it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We know that he's attacking, he's deceiving, he's lying, he's working in every possible way that he can to keep us from triumphing, from having a victory. Now, whenever the Apostle Paul is talking about this triumphing, he's talking about a parade. It's a victory parade. After the battle is won, that the Romans, whoever was responsible, the general, the leader of a great victory, they would put him as the center of the parade, like the parade marshal. I mean, he was the highlight of this triumphal entry as he would come in to the city. I was reading a little bit about this. It said that Pompey, whenever he had great victories in Africa, that he came in and his magnificent chariot was pulled by elephants. And Mark Antony, whenever he had great victories, that he was pulled into the city by chariots that were pulled by lions. You talk about something to see. That this was an amazing parade of victory. And that's what the apostle is talking about here. He always causes us to triumph. Amen. He always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. That everywhere we go, everything we do, our lives, that there is this aroma of God's victory, God's power that is evident in our life, that's having an effect upon everyone that we come in contact with. It should never be that the believer, the Christian, is constantly just beat down and defeated and hopeless in the circumstance that they're in. The Bible says he always causes us to triumph. Amen. Glory to God. And so there is a victory, because that victory was provided for us through Jesus. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. I read some of these verses often in a funeral at the graveside, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the last few verses. I usually read several more than that, but for what I want to illustrate here tonight, I want to read here beginning with verse number 55. But actually, if you look back to 53 and 54, it's like, especially here in the King James, it's tongue twisters. The corruptible must put on incorruption. The mortal must put on immortality. And then it keeps going on with this. When this corruptible shall have put on incorruption. And what's it What's it talking about? It's talking about the physical frame, the mortal, the physical body that's corruptible. When it puts on incorruption and immortality, it's talking about the glorified state of the Christian after that he has died. And so this entire passage is talking about the resurrection. Not only the resurrection of Jesus, but the resurrection of the saints of God. That's why I read it when I get out to the cemetery, to remind people of the fact that this is not the end. They're placing this loved one in the grave, but we're looking with this wonderful hope of the resurrection, when this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. Amen. Verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? The fear of it, the horribleness of it. You know, when someone passes from this life and there's the sorrow and there's the grief. But here he's saying that, O death, where is thy sting? Or where is the prick? Where is the pain? O grave, where is thy victory? Then he goes on to say the sting of death is sin. The sting is if you die in your sin, then there's no hope for you. There's no way that you can be saved. That's the horribleness of death without Jesus Christ. The sting. But for the saint of God, this verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this text is talking about the victory that is provided for us, and that final enemy, that final battle. We all have battles, but he's given this example here to let us know that the last enemy that is going to be defeated is death, and that's the big one. Amen. The last enemy is defeated, and so if the last enemy is defeated through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, then that means all the other battles before that are much lesser, and they are no problem at all for our resurrected Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so he goes on in verse 55. All of these verses describing the resurrection of the saints of God and the power of the resurrection that these verses are describing. Verse 55, verse 58. Therefore, now, whenever in the Bible it says therefore, it means just that. You need to look back at what you just read and understand that this is being said because of what was said before. Therefore, all of this message of the resurrection and the power of Christ defeating death through the power of the resurrection. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That last phrase lets us know. Be steady, be steadfast, unmovable, because you know if you're always abounding in the work of the Lord, you know with certainty that there is a day when you are going to be rewarded. Amen. You're going to be rewarded. So stay strong. And don't allow anything. That's really what the word steadfast. I'm glad that many places in the New Testament you'll see either words repeated or words similar words repeated. The Apostle Paul does this a lot, and it's just for emphasis. And when he says here steadfast, unmovable is just another word that makes steadfast a little bit stronger. Steadfast, it just means settled, confident, strong, firm in what you believe, not easily swayed. You're on a solid rock, a solid foundation. You have a confidence in God. Amen. You're not soon shaken in mind. Amen. Or as the apostle in Acts 20, verse 24, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear that I might finish my course with joy. How do you do that? How can you live and go through all of these you know, trials every one of us. You know what we've been doing for some time is it's been day to day, day to day. And that's not a bad thing because really, I believe that the Lord wants us dependent upon Him. We get a little bit self-confident sometimes. And we just need a reminder that every new day brings new challenges and new trials and problems and things that are in our way. And we every day we need to know Him and we need a fresh touch from God. Amen. Glory to God. He said, none of these things move me. I'm not knocked off course. I'm not knocked down. I'm not defeated. I'm steadfast. I'm strong in my confidence in the Lord. How is He able to say that? How are we able to be steadfast and unmovable? Well, it's because we're looking back at the battle that He won at the cross. And when He came out of the tomb and when He made a way where He was the first fruits of the resurrection, which means we're all just following, we all are going to go unless Jesus comes by way of rapture. We're all going to be going by way of the grave. But whenever that doesn't defeat us, that causes us to be reminded of the fact that Jesus, He is our resurrection. Amen. Glory to God. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. The word is a word. It's hard to even describe this word. When I looked up this word in the Greek, it means something superfluous, something so flourishing, so abounding. It's like the young people use the words today, like extreme or taking it to the next level. And that's really what they're talking about. Moving forward, growing and always abounding, moving up, not tore down, not defeated, not just barely surviving. Revival is about victory. Amen. Revival is victory. It is pressing through it. As I described a little earlier, last year before we started revival in August, I mean several situations, several families in the church dealing with all kinds of situations, sickness and hospitalizations and just, you know, the worry and the burden of this kind of a situation. But we just pressed on. And some nights the crowds weren't huge, but we pressed on. And the Lord did some things. He did some wonderful things in those services. Because what's going on around us does not stop the power of God. It does not stop the victory that He provides for us. Growing and flourishing, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. That God wants to encourage you tonight, all of us here tonight, to understand that last enemy to be defeated was death. And so if that big situation, that the biggest obstacle has already been taken care of, if you're a believer, if you're born again, then you don't have to worry about death, because once you have passed from this life, you're going to be instantly transported into the presence of the Lord. And your eyes are going to be open. You'll have understandings that you've never had before because of the limits of our physical frame. But then you're going to see. Then you're going to understand. You'll comprehend. And we'll be spending all of the eternity learning and understanding more about God, His love, His grace, His mercy, all the wonderful blessings and the gifts that He's provided for us. All of eternity will be a lesson in learning about the greatness of our God. Glory to God. Amen. So there's no reason for us to not make the right choices about victory, about entering into victory. Victory doesn't mean the absence of trouble or problems. Victory is the answer to trouble and problems. It is the victory that the Lord wants to lead us into. So we make some choices, and you will make choices over these next few days in revival. Sometimes people say, we can't do it anymore. We can't go several nights to church. We're just too busy. We're too overwhelmed. But we live in the computer age, and we live in the age of all these things that are supposed to help us to, time savers and all of these things that are available to us today. But yet, we're so pressed. We're so busy with so many things. Doing what? Is it a pursuit of God and the things of God? Is it entering it in to the victory that is provided for us through our Lord Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Amen. Revival brings victory. Victory is revival. Hallelujah. Amen. So whenever someone says to you, "Do you have the victory?" What they're saying to you is, have you moved to that place, that position where you're steadfast, unmovable? Doesn't mean your life doesn't have trouble or challenges. It just means that you've come to a place that you're solid in your confidence in God and in His Word, and you're steadfast, unmovable, and you're moving forward by the grace of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're not going to let trying situations stop you or knock you down, but you're going to press right on through. Amen. Until you see His eternal purpose accomplished in your life. Amen. Therefore, because of His resurrection power, because of that ultimate victory over death, because of that, we are to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in His work. Glory to God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the confidence that we have in You. And Lord, we know that no matter what that we're experiencing, Lord, that You're our victory. You're our victory. You're our hope. You're the answer, Lord. No matter what we face, we thank You, Lord, that the victory has already been won. And You came out of that tomb victorious over death. That last enemy was defeated. And so, Lord, all of our other enemies, all of our other challenges and problems, they're nothing compared to the victory that You won. Overcoming death. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord, that we can live, Lord, with that confidence, steadfast, unmovable. None of these things move me. None of these things change me. They don't knock me off course. Thank You, Lord. Lord, that we can remain confident, remain full of faith, no matter what we face. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Revival is victory. Victory is revival. And let's enter into that over these next days, believing God to give us victories individually, our families, our church, and then others that we're praying for that need God so desperately in their life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. In both of these verses that I read, both in 2 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians, there's both thanksgiving unto the Lord. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Amen. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus, through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank You, Lord. Lord, that the battle has been won. We thank You, Lord, that we can just enter into the wonderful provision of victory through Jesus Christ. Oh, we thank You for that. Thank You, Lord, that there's no enemy, no device, no tactic, no lie that the enemy can send our way. Lord, there's no trouble or trial that's greater than the ultimate victory that You won over death. Praise God. Thank You, Lord. Oh, we praise You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You are working in us, speaking to us. Lord, giving us a newfound confidence in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Do you really want revival? Do you really want victory? Victories in many areas of your life? We need to see people saved this week, healed this week, delivered this week. We need to see God doing some mighty works among us here. I hope that you're praying, seeking the Lord, fasting, preparing for God to move in these next few days. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.